Okay, welcome everyone to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Boy, these keep piling up and it has been such a fun thing to be doing, something I'm super passionate about. And today sitting across from me is another wonderful guest and someone who's become a good friend of mine, Joe Iannello, who's the executive fellow through Leadership Austin's fellow program. And I've gotten to know Joe through his work volunteering at One Voice. Joe, thank you so much for being with us today.
Steven, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, for the people that are just tuning in kind of for the first time and maybe don't know much about Leadership Austin or One Voice, do you mind just kind of educating the audience on both of those organizations and both what their mission is, a little bit about them and what your role is there?
Sure. So both are really great organizations. Leadership Austin has been around for a while, and their main purpose is to help build leaders. And so they have programs for that purpose, and that's really their main purpose. But fairly recently, over the last couple of years, they've also started a program, a fellows program, where they match people who have a good deal of experience with nonprofit organizations that potentially can make use of their help. So when I became aware of this fellows program, I contacted them. And through that program, I ultimately wound up working with One Voice Central Texas. One Voice Central Texas is actually a consortium of nearly 100 different nonprofit organizations based in Austin and the surrounding area. And they consist of large nonprofits like United Way and Salvation Army, as well as very small organizations that may only have a few employees.
And I would be remiss also if I didn't mention to the audience, on an earlier episode, we had Dan Leal, who's the executive director at Seedling, but also, you know, heavily involved with One Voice as well. So I just think it's such a cool organization, both from its mission, but what I think is super neat about One Voice in particular is that it's really bringing together all of these executive directors, to have them come together to share best practices, what's happening, you know, both with them personally, professionally, emotionally. And I think so much so, I mean, you have all these wonderful people, in this case, executive directors running nonprofits in the city of Austin that are focused on different, you know, initiatives, missions. But internally, you know, for them, like, what are they going through and having peers to be able to share that with? So that was part of what, you know, Dan had told me about, and curious, you know, your take on it as you've gotten involved.
Well, I really think it's a great organization. I didn't really know really anything about them before I started this journey. And I got involved with them earlier this year, and I've made a 12-month commitment to work with them and help them. I guess the main thing that's made an impression on me is that there's so many organizations with so many good people doing so much good work, but they all have one common theme, even though they have somewhat different missions. The common theme is they have limited resources, and yet they're trying to do so much. And, you know, organizations like One Voice and its members and Leadership Austin are doing such good work. It's part of what makes Austin great, but may not be as obvious as other things that are going on in Austin that maybe get a lot more press.
I'm glad you bring that up. You know, one of the things that really excited me when I first heard about your role and what you were doing, because I really knew of One Voice kind of on the periphery of, like, from the mission. But actually, I need to give a shout out to, you know, we were connected through some mutual people, you know, in Austin that told me obviously about the work that you were doing. And that's how we got connected, which is always great. But what I think I really appreciate about what you're doing is that you're coming at this in a volunteer capacity And you're bringing a lot of the things that you learned in your for-profit world, you know, about how to do assessments, how to pull together collaboration, how to share best practices. And I think that that's a really neat, you know, part that that you're doing to bring it. So, you know, do you mind shedding some light a little bit into kind of like the project that you were tasked with? And with that, I kind of, you know, want to acknowledge what you're saying, which is that, you know, both in Austin and also nationally throughout the country, you know, what I see time and time again with my work is organizations that obviously are in it for the right reasons. I mean, no one's starting a nonprofit, you know, they're not starting a nonprofit to make money. They're starting it to really make a mission. But sometimes they're so focused on their mission that they're not able to really understand like what are other benefits or things that they could be working on because they're just so overworked, specifically on the mission at hand. So anyway, I want to applaud you for what you're doing to bring best practices to the nonprofit community since they are so under-resourced and just focused on their direct mission.
Yeah, so my role with One Voice, my mission, is really to help them specifically with improving or adding to the services and benefits that One Voice can provide to its member organizations and their employees. And I found that to be attractive based upon my own background. And my background has been all in technology, but as a result, I've spent so much time collaborating with people, looking for solutions, doing process improvement as well as technology improvement, building relationships, etc., and doing research to find hopefully the right solution for what the particular need was. So all of that experience has really come into play with the role that I'm doing right now with One Voice. You know, my journey really started with getting a computer science degree in college. And that immediately led me into a number of technology or IT roles. I started out as a computer programmer and then moved from that to systems analysis. And I designed and programmed my own systems for the companies that I was working with. And then I began to specialize in data and data management. And along the way, I had the opportunity to attract and build teams and got more and more experience, more and more responsibility, and ultimately became the captain of the ship, became what's known as the CIO, the Chief Information Officer, who's responsible for all systems and technology for a particular organization. And for the last 25 years, I've been a CIO in four different companies in four different industries, and most of them were in the for-profit private sector. But in 2011, I joined Capital Metro here in Austin. That's what brought me to Austin. And my motivation was I wanted to bring the experience I had gathered in the for-profit sector to the public sector. And at the time, the CEO of Capital Metro was looking for somebody who was from the private sector to help Capital Metro. So I spent 7 years at Capital Metro, had a lot of great experiences, met a lot of great people, made a lot of progress. And then towards the end of last year, I thought, well, you know, after all of this work, it's time for me to retire. So I did. But I knew I didn't want to just sit on the couch. I still wanted to be active. I wanted to apply what I had learned essentially to do good. And that's when Leadership Boston caught my attention. That's how I wound up working with One Voice of Central Texas. And specifically at One Voice, I started a project called Project BEST. And, you know, in technology, we love acronyms. And so besides sounding good, Project BEST, the word BEST is an acronym that stands for Benefits, Employee Services, Transformation. And that was my intention, to help transform and improve the benefits and services that could be provided through One Voice for its members.
And my side take too, just kind of anecdotal, if there's a lot of times we get social entrepreneurs that are listening to the podcast and reach out to us, and they're always talking about how do we, you know, get started and grow. You know, I really want to thank you so much, because obviously what we're doing at Charity Charge is free and value add for the nonprofit community. But however, knowing that so many nonprofits and executive directors are so focused on their day to day, it's really hard for them to understand what is actually good out there, what's worthwhile, you know, what's a great product or service, what's a scam and a fraud. And now, you know, I think with ways that you can reach people by putting ads up on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, there's so much noise in the industry. And so what you were doing, obviously, you know, was started from a mission to provide make awareness to these nonprofit leaders. But I want you to know and acknowledge that on the flip side, you're bringing so much value to the people and the companies that have created the products and services. It's really a win-win as you've gone through, you know, your assessment to find the so to speak, the vendors or the products and the services that you recommend to the 100 or so executive directors of One Voice.
Yeah, Stephen, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I see that from what I'm hearing, that I am providing value and benefit, but it's so gratifying to be helping these organizations, because again, they don't have a lot of resources. And a lot of what I've been doing is researching solutions.
You grilled me, buddy. I mean, it was really funny the first time we spoke. I like in the back of my mind, I was trying to picture you because it was just on the phone and everything. And I was really just trying to figure out, you know, what is this all about? And why does he have so many questions? And you were extremely thorough. And I appreciate that, which is good. The flip side of what we're doing, and kind of my advice oftentimes to a lot of people that have a product or service, is really try to keep your message as simple as possible. But sometimes people want and, you know, should have all the details. So when you sent out the email or the communication about Charity Charge, you might have had like 15 or 16 bullet points on there. You know, I normally would send 3, but I really appreciate it, and it's good. You know, one of the things that I want to do is get from you a list of these other products and services, because I want to put a blog up on our website and in our newsletter. And if you're comfortable with it, since you've already taken the effort to make the assessment, share those out to the nonprofits that we work with that are outside of Austin, giving you, you know, credit and recognition. But I think that your work is bigger than just Austin.
One of the things I found was, you know, there's some opportunities that are out there. It isn't like you have to create them. It's more about communicating it and making people aware. So, so some of the things we've already have done as examples, there's an organization called Tex Health, and they're based here in Austin, and their purpose is to essentially be the facilitator of subsidies for healthcare premiums that's funded by the state of Texas. And there's certain eligibility requirements, but it's a great program, and it can reduce somebody's healthcare premiums by a third. And there's a max in terms of the dollar amount. And when I came across this organization, my assumption was, oh, well, the One Voice members probably already know about this. Well, I was surprised to find out that many of them didn't. And then so many of them reached out to Text Health and got that benefit. So another example is your organization, you know, Charity Charge. I mean, Charity Charge has been in existence for a while. You're based here in Austin. You're focused on nonprofits. You would think that a lot of nonprofits would already be aware of you. And many are, but a number aren't. And again, that's where the value comes in. Bringing information that can provide value to people and organizations who just may not be aware of it. Another example, Capital Metro has a program that provides almost free advertising and marketing for nonprofits. And the program...
Really perking up. That's
neat. Yeah. And the program consists of the following. There would be 50 posters describing the organization that would be placed on 50 buses for 6 months. Now, normally, the cost of doing that would run into the thousands and thousands of dollars. But for nonprofits, they have this program where the only cost is the cost of creating these posters and installing them. That total cost is less than $500. So instead of a cost of maybe nearly $10,000, it's less than $500. So again, this was another opportunity that I communicated to the One Voice members. A lot of them weren't aware of it. And again, a lot of them then took advantage of it. So
can we talk for a second? Because I think the three opportunities, ours included. Thank you for that. No. I think the opportunities that you're sharing, number one, I'm not even aware of, you know, but I just think that's so representative.
Yeah.
I'm curious to ask you, because you've gone through this, because we're going to share this list. And, you know, anyone listening, yeah. I mean, this is like gold, and I'm really excited to be able to share your research with the nonprofit community through our channels as well and touch points. But I'm curious just your opinion on what comes top of mind, the psychology of, I mean, we've talked about, you know, high level, we've talked about people are busy, people are so heads down, they're not going to be aware of these. Can you riff on that? Like, what's going on here? What's the challenge? I mean, you have all these wonderful initiatives like Cap Metro, for example. How come I didn't know about that? How come more nonprofits, you know, don't know about it? It's just like, it's more of like a philosophical thing. I'm curious your opinion, but it's really reminding me of when I used to work for the University of Texas, which is at Austin, right? Which is big in and of itself. And then it's obviously when you think of the UT system in general, that's even more massive. And we used to keep running into this issue of silos, like different divisions of the universities not talking to each other. And it was just a common thing and everyone kind of accepted it and it was what it was. But we have these silos. What's your opinion take on that?
Well, you know, it's obvious that we have a flood of information that's available to us. And through the technology, there's more information that's available and we get exposed to more than ever. But in spite of that, all of us are on a certain path. We have a certain mission. We might be working on a certain project. And even though we're exposed to a lot of information, a lot of it is filtered out. And we're focused on to a large extent, a small subset. And I think that's what happens. And that was a good example of my experience in communicating some of these opportunities that were out there, that were being communicated, but people weren't maybe either paying attention to, or they were so focused on their day-to-day needs that they didn't really have time to kind of step back and take a broader look.
So let me ask a different question then. Part of what we're going to share out and what you did are, so to speak, national programs that theoretically any nonprofit across the country could benefit from. Some of them are local to the Austin community. Obviously, your focus was, you know, Austin, so to speak. So imagine someone is listening to this podcast and lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Santa Fe, New Mexico, and, you know, they have a hub of nonprofits there as well. What kind of advice would you give to that person that is trying to help their nonprofits and do a similar type of project? Like, what did you go through? What were some of your steps to find all of these resources and vet them?
Yeah. So even the examples I just gave, even though, like, for example, the Capital Metro bus poster program and the Text Health healthcare subsidy, even though those are specific to Austin, you know, they could be applied to any city. For example, you know, a city of certain sizes have transit agencies and buses. So the opportunity to get your message out, a nonprofit to get a message out on buses is there. And maybe in some cases more or less than others. The thing about the subsidies on healthcare, yeah, Texas has a program. It's funded by the state of Texas. But other states may have similar programs. So even though we've done things very specific to Austin, they could be applied to other locations. Another example, which is nationwide, has to do with prescription drugs and the cost of prescription drugs. And before I got into this whole area of research, I always thought that, oh, if somebody has an insurance plan for prescription drugs, they don't need other options. For example, there are discount prescription drug plans, and there's a number of them. But just to give one example, there's an organization called GoodRx. GoodRx.
Never heard of it. See, this is great.
Yeah, yeah. So GoodRx has a website, and it's free, and you could go to this website and you could put in your zip code location and the prescription drug that you're interested in filling. And it'll tell you the cost, the discounted cost of that prescription drug at all of the pharmacies within your zip code area. Well, I had a personal experience with this just recently. I needed to fill a prescription drug. And it just turned out, even though I had insurance, this particular prescription was not covered by my insurance plan. So I went on to GoodRx. And sure enough, I was able to get a discount. If I hadn't used GoodRx, it would have cost me $360 to fill that prescription. Instead, it cost me $33.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, they advertise, 10X, they advertise that in most cases, you could save 80% of what the retail price would be. In my case, I saved over 90%. So again, a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And a lot of people who are aware of these discount prescription plans assume that, well, if I have insurance, I don't really need that. But in some cases, it still has a big positive impact.
A lot of why, as you share that specific example of GoodRx, you know, a lot of why I really appreciate what you've done and why, you know, I'm excited to share out this full list is that nonprofit, you know, the people that are working at nonprofits are absolutely mission driven, you know, and are really doing incredible work, even, you know, think about Austin, to improve our Austin community. And oftentimes, obviously, they're doing it because they really care. And like, they're candidly, like, their take home salary may be less than what they could be earning in the for-profit sector. And so I think finding ways where they can maximize their income and find savings is just so incredible. And we need, you know, more and more of those things. I mean, just always trying to figure out ways, you know, our whole mission is like, how do we give extra revenue, additional revenue to nonprofits, you know, through ordinary actions. So I really think it's awesome you did that. One of the things is as we round out this interview, we've talked about a bit in the beginning, but I wanted to also just get your kind of assessment in general. You know, it's rare that I have a guest on that has worked in effectively three different sectors. So the private or for-profit, the public or municipality, and then now within the nonprofit space. Could you, in your own opinion, kind of just compare and contrast that, some high level things of your experience of the differences and even if it's as simple as like what it was like to be an employee in each of those pros and cons?
Well, it certainly has been an interesting journey. And even when I was working in the for-profit private sector, I worked in different industries. So at one point, I worked for a music and movie company. I also worked in the oil and gas and a number of other industries. So the industries were very different. Mm-hmm. And so the industry specifics were different. Moving to the public sector, the two biggest differences besides the industry specifics really has to do with procurement and public records. In the private sector, I was used to being able to pick up a phone and engaging with a vendor at a pretty high dollar value, just on my own authority. In the public sector, it's a long process, going through requests for proposals. And instead of taking, you know, minutes or hours or days, it could literally take many, many, many months just to start the project.
I'm chuckling over here because, you know, I'm always learning as I'm growing Charity Charge. And our process on our side to onboard and work with nonprofits is free and simple. And, you know, we really pride ourselves in that. Probably 6 months or so, I get a call from an organization, and it was their head of procurement, a big organization was in Florida. And I'm sitting here thinking, what the fuck is a head of a procurement? So, and the guy, bless his heart, and like how they do it, made it so much more complicated than it needed to be. But I also respect it. But I'm just kind of sharing the anecdotal like side of like the social entrepreneur that I'm just like, dude, we can do this. It's simple. You know, we don't need to make it. But go on.
Right. So when I joined, when I went to the public sector, you know, I was faced with that, the procurement aspect, and you know that inhibits speed, it inhibits innovation, right? It inhibits opportunities, windows of opportunity, right? So I came up with an approach that stayed within the rules, but still allowed us to engage with innovative companies in a very quick way. And then finally with the nonprofits, I think the biggest difference, again, really just has to do with resources and the fact that they're trying to do so much with so little.
I love it. It's really great, you know, summary of everything. As we wrap up here, you know, we're going to share this out. I want to let everyone know that if you want to find more, it's onevoicecentraltx.org. Thank you.